Everybody loves our intro.
I love it.
Yeah. Scott, where'd you get that intro?
Good question. It was a partner who hooked up for me. So,
okay.
Shout out.
Shout out to your partner. Anyway.
Yeah.
That's that bumping little beat. Anyway, we got a bumping little show today. You know, last week we were in Manchester, New Hampshire. We had four world title fights. We had some great people on the podcast. But today, man, we're in New York City. We got a home game for me because I'm a New Yorker. So I'm finally in New York. And we've got Teofimo Lopez, the takeover lightweight champion of the world. He's fighting at the Garden for this will be, what, your seventh time at the Garden?
Yes, seventh time.
Great to see you, brother. How you doing, man?
I'm feeling great, man. I'm prepared. I've been prepared, and I'm just excited to be here. You know, it's great to be back home. You know, I consider Madison Square Garden my home, and I consider, you know, New York is my home. So it's great to defend all my titles here, and I'm looking forward to keep that knockout streak going come Saturday night.
Yeah, absolutely. What's it like? You know, it's funny because I'm traveling around the world, and I see all kinds of fight fans. And like so many of them, they dream about Madison Square Garden. And for you, this is really kind of becoming your second home. I mean, this will be your seventh time there. What are some of your great performances that you really remember? I mean, I've been there for some of them, but what stands out to you?
Definitely the last one over here when I beat the former world champion, the world champion then, Richard Comey. And I won my first world title here at Madison Square Garden. So for me, I think that's always going to be the number one from this point forward, because it's that's very sentimental right there. Like, who would have known, like me, right? Like, winning my first world title at the Garden, that's a dream come true. So for me, that's one. And then there's another one, Ronald Rivas. Mm. It was my fifth pro fight, and man, I dipped, bro, and left hook and just dropped him clean. And I think that's when everybody kind of started realizing this kid could be. That's when I became Prospect of the Year that year, and I was just working my way up.
Yeah, I was at that Comey fight. It was an incredible one. And it's funny, too, because, you know, I've been watching you for a long time and saying, this kid looks like the truth, man. But, you know, Comey can punch, and we'll see, you know. And you just made – it was like easy work, man. You know, you handled business, and then you've gone on, and obviously you beat Loma, and you did what you've done. And obviously now you're facing the IBF mandatory in Kambosos, but – man, I don't know if anyone thought you were going to go ahead and do what you've done. I think a lot of people were thinking that you weren't going to take out Loma the way you did. Not take out, but win.
No, you know, the whole thing, it's a takeover. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, we take them out, you know, and it's really that. You know, it's if I'm going to go out there and say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. You know, I'm a man of my word when it comes to my sport and everything. And I'm going to defend my father, who's my coach. You know, He implemented all that in me, you know, confidence and everything. So, you know, coming into this, I know what I want and I know what I need to do to get myself to that next level of becoming great, you know, and to become a legend in my sport. And when I hang up those gloves, like, what did I leave behind? You know, it's all about that legacy. And I think that I'm chasing more so for the glory, because I know everything else comes with it.
You know, I love that you say that. And that's something that I wanted to talk to you about because –
Sorry.
Obviously, you know, you got to get paid. We got your manager, Dave McWater, over here, and he wants to make sure you get paid. But your main thing is you want to fight for legacy, and I love that. And I feel like anywhere we look for you is a great fight. Like anywhere we look, whether it's at 140 to Josh Taylor, whether it's whether it's a Devin Haney, whether it's Tank, whether it's a rematch with Loma, like there's just so many great fights for you, you know. Let me ask you this. This Kambosos fight, he was your mandatory for the IBF.
Yes.
Did you ever think about even just dropping that belt and saying, like, I want to do something else? Or did you want to? You always wanted to fight the mandatory.
It's not about the mandatory. It's more so about what it brings, the principle of it.
Okay. You know,
I won my first world title to get me to become undisputed, and that was with the IBF. So for me, that's very sacred.
Sure.
And the whole thing is just like defending all my belts, you know. And I'll be the first one to do it this week. You know, I'll be the first undisputed to defend all his belts, you know, in the four belt era, in a while. So for me, it's like. Those things that I love what I do. I love my belts, and I'm not here to, like, just, you know, leave them on the shelf. Like, I'm here to actually defend my belts. And, yeah, you know, there's so many great fights on the way, and I'm thankful for being in the position I'm in because I could play with this. You know, and the whole thing though is that even though it's a playing field, I need you need two to tangle, right? So I need my other guys to cooperate with this so we can make these big fights happen for the people, because that's what matters.
This is very true. I mean, I know you say, like, when did boxers get soft? I don't think boxers are soft, but I just think that sometimes it's really hard with the networks and the different promoters and the politics.
They're soft.
It's
soft.
tell me more.
You know why the
fighters are soft?
The fighters are soft because they pick, even in the beginning, I never turned down a fight. Any fight that ever came to me, I never turned it down. From the pros, from my pro debut, all the way to 16 fights. When they presented me the Comey fight, we took it. They presented me the Loma fight, we took it.
You knock them down.
We knock them down. The thing is that these fighters are so soft because they pick their fights. They're like, oh, no, this guy's either too tall, or he's too much, or he weighs this. And it's like, you haven't even won a world title yet to even decide what you want to do.
Right.
Not even a world champion yet. Like, you got to literally sit down, be humble, and just take whatever you get. Because what happens with matchmakers, that's the problem, though, because then you give difficulties to the matchmakers that are trying to give you a good fight,
right,
and give you the opportunities. Why are you being picky?
But you don't think it's important to build? I mean, like, you're a special talent, you know?
But beggars can't be choosers.
Yeah, you know, but at the same time, like, you're a special talent, you know? You really are in the ring. And it's like, your amateur record is something like, what, 150-20 or something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, you've been fighting since 2 years old. You've been in the gym, not really fighting, but you've been in the gym since 2 years old. This is your life.
Yeah.
And if anyone even watches you skip rope, bro, there's very few people on the planet that can skip rope like this, okay? Like maybe Sugar Ray Leonard, maybe Floyd Mayweather. I've seen Mike Tyson do some great, great rope skipping, but like, you're up there with all of them. Bro, it's crazy. That takes a lifetime to do what you do, and it shows. So you like you said, you are confident. Your dad has put that in you. Your hard work has put that in you. But some of these other fighters maybe aren't at your level, and so
then catch up.
Don't you think that, like, not that they need soft touches, but you know, matchmaking I think is a very important part of the game, especially early, right? Because guys, when they turn pro, headgear comes off, gloves are smaller, lights are brighter. It's a different animal, right?
I guess for me, it was I always look forward to pros rather than the amateurs because it felt like home.
Yeah.
That's why I guess maybe it is. Maybe I'm just a bit different when it comes to the professional league because I carry it with such grace. You know what I'm saying? Like when I'm in there, like when I fought Richard Comey and at the Garden, it was full. You know, this is the Comey before Crawford fought. And just like going into that ring, before I went in, that ring entrance, you could see it. I just turn around and I'm bouncing and just looking at everybody. And I'm just grabbing that energy and I'm just smiling.
Yeah.
Who really does that? Like, you're about to get into a fight.
Yeah.
You're about to fight the world champion and one of the hardest punches in your division. And you literally just walk in looking around and just smiling like, I'm about to show everybody. And that's the kind of way I am, but it's like, that's what you need. In order to become, like, a lot of these fighters, I got to say, man, they need to understand. They got to be a little bit more educated in the sense of where they stand. You cannot be a $100 million man because a lot of these guys want to be a $100 million man and be like Floyd again. And they're trying to follow the footsteps of him, but they're not doing the competition that he started off with, you know,
right.
Pretty Boy Floyd,
sure.
Top Rank moved him well.
That's right.
They made him do what he had to do. They gave him the great fights that he had to fight. And the matchmakers, they knew what they needed for him. He had to fight all those ways to become his own boss, to become who he is now, and become Money Mayweather. So for the fighters, I try to implement that, try to let them know, but they're too stupid. You know, like, they're too ignorant. They think they know better. Like, you don't know anything. I don't even know anything. You know what I'm saying? I'm still learning through it all, but I have all the belts. I have 5 belts. You know, and it's like, but I carry it with grace because it's like what God gives us, he could take away. So you got to remind yourself, don't believe the hype. It's a sequel. Don't believe your own hype. And it's like, I don't believe my own hype. So when every time I come out here, man, like a lot of people think I'm big headed and stuff. Nah, I'm just confident.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It's that hard work. And I know that feeling, like, you know, obviously when I step into the ring, I'm doing something very different than you. But I love it. And people ask me all the time, like, oh, do you get nervous behind the mic? But I don't, because I love it. I feel very comfortable behind a microphone. This is where I shine.
Yeah.
This is where I shine. And in the ring is where you shine. Yeah. you know, and it's very obvious. So speaking of some of these soft other fighters out here, is it, go on. What are you
gonna
say?
The reason why I say that the fighters today in today's era are soft is because, like, you could literally do what you want to do, just take what they give you at the moment, but just keep fighting, like, just keep pushing and keep moving forward. Eventually, that's how I looked at it mentally when I came into this. I was like, eventually I'm going to have to fight these guys because I want to be the best.
Of course.
So why am I going
to
wait?
And especially, like you said, you're trying to fight for legacy. Yeah. And you say you want to fight at least 3 times a year, but, like,
absolutely,
bro, you haven't – I mean, the Loma fight was over a year.
I know. It's sad.
Even between Comey and Loma was almost a year.
It's sad.
It was like 10 months or something.
I know.
It's crazy. So, like, we need to see you in action, my brother.
Yeah. I know. Me too. I need to see myself in action.
Yeah.
You know? And the thing was that – but you know how this sport could get business-wise. You know, that's the only problem that I could say about my sport. It's not the sport. It is the people in the sport that don't risk their lives in that ring that are trying to sabotage what we're doing for ourselves, but for that legacy. I have a, you know, like, because I look at it like this, like, don't touch my food. I don't touch nobody's food. Don't touch mine. You know, don't eat off my plate. Like, I got to feed my family. And when people are taking food off my plate, now that's personal. You know, and I think that come Saturday night, I just want to show everybody, like, don't do that shit again.
Right.
Like, don't come and shelf me, Trilla. Don't come and do this to me, Floyd. Don't come and do that to me, fucking Showtime. Like, don't do any of that. And I call these guys out because it's like, in reality, man, it's not, I'm not trying to find beef in all this. I'm just trying to let everybody know and set the record straight. Like, are you guys trying to look at the future, or are you just focus on the present and just trying to grab as much as you can now? And if you try to do that now, there ain't no future, because you guys are all going to be, it's going to be minimized. That's why, like, I'm very confident in what I do. Look, I got my takeover promotions now. I'm not trying to dictate how I want to do this. What I'm trying to do is just try to help it a little bit, trying to fix the system a little bit, because it's crooked. It's crooked to the, it's crooked to the sea, bro, to the capital. I mean, it's so bad that it is so bad that an undisputed lightweight world champion came and fucking fight twice a year. It is so fucking bad that they don't even want to see a young future, young champion that's trying to make better for this sport succeed in this. It is so bad that they're trying to stop my life. Boxing is my life. Boxing saved my life. So for everyone that's, leave me alone. You know what I'm saying? Leave me alone. Floyd, you are old news. I'm sorry. You are retired. You won't ever be relevant again. You can't. You can't. Everybody has it. Tyson had to go through it. Ali had to go through it. Who the fuck is Florida? Who? Who are you? You're done. You're out of the system, bro. You're out, man. We are the new guys on the cusp. And I'm not talking about just me. I could talk about Jerron Boots, Jerron Ennis. We could talk about all the guys that are coming up. Shakur, if you want to mention.
Shakur, Virgil.
All those guys are on the rise. This is the new era. This is the new generation. Floyd became fighter of the decade, but that was 20th century. This is the 21st century. So stop it. Everybody need to stop it, man. Nobody gonna touch me, though.
Boxing.
I say it like this, though. I can say this because nobody can't fucking touch me. Sorry for my language. They not allowed to touch me because I haven't done anything wrong for them to try to touch me. You get what I'm saying? Mm. I'm just trying to do what I gotta do. And I'm trying to actually help everybody eat. You know, I'm trying to educate these fighters how they should move, become their own people, but at the same time, respect and be humble where you stand. You got to be respectful and understand where you stand. When I meet all these big-time people and promoters and networks and everything, I'm respectful to all of them firsthand, because whatever I give to them, I shall receive back. If I don't, cool, I know where we stand. But look, I'm 24. I'm still learning through it all, all right? And I'm probably going to learn more through it. But the thing is, like, what helps me the most is when I'm in that ring.
Yeah. 100% is what you do. It's what you do.
What protects me the most. The reason why I love what I do is because whether it's for a round, whether it's for 36 minutes, it is the best 36 minutes of my life because I am actually free. I am free. It is my own canvas, a blank canvas that night, and I am drawing my life, my future for that night. You know, and it's like, that is the beauty of art. That is the beauty of what we do. What you do is the beauty of that. We all have an art. We all do things to elevate ourselves. The reason why I push myself so hard is because I want my voice to be heard. I don't want it to just be like, oh, what the heck is he talking about? I don't want it to be listened. I want it to be heard. I want my voice. I want everybody to see that I'm here to make better for the sport, not to destroy it. I'm here to make everybody understand, respect it. We have died in this sport. Why the fuck are we having YouTubers make $50 million? Why? Or $15 million? Why? Because of their fucking notoriety or what? Or what they do? They don't do anything, bro. We risk our lives. We take the cuts. We take the bruises. And if I got to take the blame for it, so be it. If I got to take the hit for it, so be it. But I'll be the one to say, I stood for something. I didn't fall for anything. That's why I love Muhammad Ali. Why is he the greatest of all times? He's the greatest of all times in this whole world, not in boxing. Why? Because he stood for something. He didn't fall for anything. He had to go to prison for all that. He did what he had to do. Went against the whole system. But did they touch him? Absolutely not. Because he was the people's champ. He's my champ. And I think that's the deepest thing that I could come to is that go back in history, man. Do your research. All these casual fans, you guys don't know shit about boxing. And that goes to show. I think that everybody needs to sit down, be humble. So many people are so opinionated now because they have nothing else to do in their life. But focus on yourself first and watch how many great things come to you. You got to love yourself first. And I had to learn this. I had to learn all this, man. I had to go through it, man. They did me dirty. So wrong.
In the amateurs you're talking?
No. Oh, even in the amateurs when I won the U.S. Olympic trials.
Sure.
I could go back on that. If you really want me to, this ain't my first rodeo that they try to sabotage and say I'm not undisputed. This ain't my first time that I had something like this go to me. I had this happen to me in the amateurs. When I won the U.S. Olympic trials to represent USA in the Olympic Games for 2016.
And you had to go to Honduras.
I had to go to Honduras.
Yeah.
But how is it that since 1904, I'm the first fighter, since 1904, U.S. Olympic trials to win it and not represent my country? Why? Because everything is under what? Table. Everything's all maneuvered, man. It's too political. Why hasn't USA Boxing won any gold medals? Why? Because they picked their favorites rather than the ones that actually could succeed to become gold medalists. The last gold medalist was who? Andre Ward, 2004. You know what I'm saying? Like, they pick and choose who they want to go to the games rather than actually bringing the actual solidified fighter that could make that gold medal for them because of what? Oh, they've been in the team longer? Man, get out of here with that. You know, that's why I don't respect, I'll be real with you guys. I don't respect nobody in this damn business. I'll work my, you know why? Because they don't treat it like business. Everything is personal. So how is that business? I learned in my life is like business is business, personal is personal. But nowadays, since COVID hit and everything, everybody has come together as a group, and everything is personal, whether you with them or you either with them or against them. Well, I guess I'm against everybody in the sport of boxing then because I'm not cool with that. This is a business then, okay? If we're going to make this a business, then we make it a fucking business. Don't make it personal, though. Don't try to sabotage my career because y'all mad because I did it before you.
Who's trying to sabotage your career?
Man, the whole industry. I'll say it like that, man, because they just mad. Everybody mad because they didn't expect me to beat Lomachenko, the number one pound-for-pound fighter. They didn't expect a young guy. They didn't expect at 23, to do what I did. Now, look, I'm not saying that everybody don't like me. I'm not saying that people got something. No, I know there's a lot of supporters out there, so I appreciate everybody that does because thank you because I couldn't be here without you guys. I couldn't be protected without them. So for me, it's like, this shit need to change, man. It need to change. It's not getting better.
Well, I will say this. Boxing is the one sport. It befuddles me. It doesn't give the fans what they want. You know,
because it's the fighters' fault. They don't want to make the fights happen because they think that they're Floyd already. They think that they're worth $10 million and stuff like that. But you haven't won a belt yet to even consider yourself that way. You know what I'm saying? Or you haven't gotten to that point where you're 5, 6, 7, you know, for me, man, I should be getting $10 million for fucking defending all my belts, to be real.
But these fights,
I get it. No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say all these great fights that are out there. Like, again, everywhere we look, there's a mouthwatering fight for you. I'd like to see you fight all these guys, whether it's Haney, whether it's rematch with Loma, whether it's Josh Taylor, whether it's it could be anyone. There's so many people I want to see you fight to determine who's the best out there. And that's another thing. You know, we talk about like the four kings, right? Obviously with Leonard, Hearns, Duran, and Sugar Ray Leonard, all these guys, Hagler. they would fight each other, and some guys would be able to beat one guy, but one guy couldn't beat the other guy. The styles of different fights is what makes it so interesting.
Because back then, it wasn't about your undefeated record.
That's it. No one was protecting
it.
Right.
People think that, oh, by being undefeated, I'll get $100 million in the fight, so I can't lose. Like, no, bro. You actually have to just entertain. You got to give the people what they want to see.
Yeah.
Look, McGregor, to this day, he's been losing, and people still would pay to watch this.
There's a lot of guys like that, man.
There's a lot of guys like that. If the UFC is going through that, boxing could go through it, too. I've seen guys that lost, and they come back.
AB, people always want to see him.
Yep.
You know, Zab Judah, he was losing some fights, but people love watching him. It happens. But, I mean, like, losses in the sport is just one of those things, especially when you test yourself and go for greatness.
But that's what separates the ones from being the best and being the greatest. The ones from being good to being great is that you got to do something that 99% ain't willing to do. What I did, and I to be real, I got tired of even talking about my last fight because it's been so long.
Yeah.
I don't want to be, oh, that's the guy that beat Lomachenko and that's it. Nah, I want to be more than that. I want to be the guy that they say, oh, that's a 2-time undisputed world champion in boxing. He in the Hall of Fame at 25 years young.
We had Loma on the podcast not long ago, and he really wants to rematch with you.
Of course. And he can see me at 140.
He can see you at 140?
Yeah. I already outgrew this weight. If anything, man, I'll be honest with you guys, man. This might be my last fight at 35.
Okay.
Everybody could. You know why? Because I sat on this fucking table, right? I sat on my seat, on my throne, and waited. And I was like, hey, well, let's make these fights happen, yo.
Sure.
Had my manager, David McWhorter, had my promoters, had everybody on that. Nobody came to it back. But they all talk about it on social media, right? Because everybody's quick on that. But when it comes to, like, seeing me and stuff, it's different, man. It makes me laugh. Like my father said, like, we fought Lomachenko. We're not going to fight that bum.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so true, man. These guys, man, they think that they really believe it. It's cool. But, you know, I look at it like this, man. Like, I'm looking forward to doing bigger and better things in my craft, you know. And I could care less how they are, man. But everybody got to come. They come see me. They need me. I don't need them. Every fight that I make, everybody's going to want to watch it. Mark my words. Everybody's going to want to watch it. You know why? Because I bring entertainment. I don't just go out there and just, oh, let me get my hand raised and I'm the biggest thing ever. No, I do more than that. I do my backflips. I do my dances. I do my things. I go out there, give them a show.
Yeah.
You know, and this is going to be the first time since 2019 that I'm actually going to have supporters and people in the arena.
You must be excited, man.
Man, this is it's blessings. Blessings, and I can't do this without God, man. He is the only person that has been protecting me through this whole crisis of everything. Like, he's not only gotten me stronger, but he's been with me, man. So many times I saw death cross my eyes, bro, and I just...
Personally?
Yeah, and...
Like what, how? With COVID or with...
Well, COVID was one, you know, but then all this other stuff, you know, and I thank God for protecting me through them stuff. And because of that, though, like, I know how I carry myself. It shows. Like, real recognizes real.
Always.
So I'm always like, people ask me, man, why are you by yourself and stuff? I'm like, I'm really never alone, but yeah, you know, but I prefer it that way because it shows difference. It shows difference in a sense of, like, I don't like bringing attention. I don't like wearing that jewelry. That brings attention. I don't like having a big entourage. That brings attention. I don't like security that much. Brings attention. Eventually, if I do have security, it's because the amount of... the amount of people that come in.
Of course.
If anything. But I'm looking forward to just being the people's champion. I want to be that. I want to do something that hasn't been done in a while. Floyd was Money Mayweather, but he wasn't really a people's champion, bro. I love Floyd. I'll tell you like this, man. I did. I loved Floyd, and he motivated me to the extremes of battling through how bad you want it, and he showed how you had to grind. But when you win this, and you see how things work, you're like, damn, your idols turn into your rivals. It's like, damn.
Yeah, but you got to give him props.
I ain't scared of that, though.
You got to give him credit for kind of gaming the game, right? I mean, it's so hard.
And because in reality, like, yeah, Floyd did what he what Floyd wanted to do.
Well, I think what Floyd did per se might have been good for Floyd. It might not have been great for boxing. But,
exactly.
But Floyd was great for Floyd.
Yes.
You know, but I mean, he gamed the game.
He gamed the game, but now it's time to give back the game.
That would be nice.
That would be nice, right?
That would be nice.
Right?
And but this is not to take away from his talent.
No, I mean, not at all.
Yeah,
not,
Floyd's like an all-time great.
He's an intelligent man.
Oh.
He's such a fucking intelligent man. Like,
and an all-time great fighter.
All-time great fighter, yeah. He's in there with the greats.
Yes.
He's in there as a legend and as a GOAT.
He's a legend.
He's a legend. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to take that away from Floyd. I respect that highly, truly. But the thing that I say is this. Let's get back the game.
Right.
Give it back. You took it. You grabbed it.
It,
you,
is
you,
this?
You decoded it. You did what you had to do. All right, now seal the deal. Give it back to everybody else because we all got to eat. We all got to do this. We all are trying to live to better ourselves as individuals and to better our families and to save more lives, to influence them. You got to influence the people in a positive way.
Agreed.
You know, we all going through mental issues right now, or we all going through something in life. We all got problems. But it's like when they see guys like me or guys like whoever you want to think of, top fighters or whatever, or top athletes, that motivates them.
Sure. You know? Yo, speaking of going through mental stuff, you were saying a while ago you're going through some anxiety. Is that? I mean, obviously this is a massive fight week, and I don't think a lot of people know that a massive fight week is not just about the fight, but it's about things like this and about press. And I mean, you probably have done 20 interviews today. You know, you're getting poked and prodded everywhere. It's very difficult. And that could create anxiety. How do you deal with that now? Are you doing, what's going on?
No, I meditate. You know, I meditate or I read my books and I'll just write in my journal.
Okay.
It's the best things that you could do, man. It's,
okay.
Honestly, if anybody needs some help, I'll be there to help them. I'm all about that, man.
Sure.
You know what I love about life is that it's a great saying that works around this whole world. Givers, like takers eat better, but givers sleep better.
Yeah.
I'm saying I'm a giver. I get to sleep. I don't have to sleep with one eye open. Thankfully.
Speaking of giving, you just gave life to a young son, yeah?
Yeah.
Teofimo Lopez, and the fifth.
And I'm a fight for my son, man. I'm definitely that kid right there. That boy is something else. Really special, man. I can see it. You know, you guys think that I'm great. That's the double me right there. And
wait till he comes up.
Yeah, wait till he comes, man. And, you know, whatever he wants to do in life, I'm there to support him, whether it's outside of boxing. You know, I don't want to influence my son to box, you know, but that's his choice. You know, my father gave me the freedom of will to choose what I wanted to do, which I respect. And look how far it's gotten me. So I just want the same for my son when that comes about. But it's a blessing, man. It brought more life to me. I mean, that's the real, true victory for me after this fight. It's not
right.
The belts. It's not all that. It's
family.
It's the family. Like, I'm going back to my son.
Yeah.
I'm going to go and hug him. That's my award from the man above. He gave me a blessing, you know, and that's from all the sacrifices that had happened this year, man. It shouldn't be this way, but things happened the way they did. I can't change it. All I can do is move forward.
Listen,
that's,
man,
all we can do.
Bro, you wearing the Bruce Lee sweater the other day. It'd be like water, man. You just got to adapt. Adapt and overcome. It's what it is, man.
Of course, I think really what it comes to is, like, on top of that, man, you gotta know what you want in life. You gotta know your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But not a lot of people get to find a purpose because maybe they're around the wrong people.
Sure.
Maybe they're doing things that are not educating them well or not helping them mentally. You gotta find it. You gotta take a step back from everybody. You can't make nobody happy in life. I can't make you happy. I can't make nobody happy.
No.
I can make myself happy because
I know what
makes me happy. And the thing is, like, for everyone, they need that same routine, man. Take a step back. Love yourself first. You know, they say God is love, man. So love you first because he created all of us in his image.
Well, absolutely, man. You, without self-love, you really don't have much, you know.
But everybody's looking at trying to be accepted in this society. Fuck this society. I'll be real with you. Fuck society. I ain't trying to fit in.
But
I'm trying to fit out.
there's a great saying. It's like most people work the majority of their life to make money, to buy things that they don't need, to impress people that they don't like.
Yeah.
Something like that. It's a great saying. I love that saying. But I've always kind of been like that. I do me, you know, and I've marched to my own drum, and it seemed to have worked out really well. But, you know, not everyone has that kind of inner strength. Or maybe they do, but they got to find it. So
we all have it.
Yeah.
It's just some are willing to go through the pain.
Like, where did you get that? Where do you think that came from?
Man above. You know what I'm saying? I think just really not.
From
not
your faith.
Yeah, from my faith. You know, faith. Faith. Every time I had a fight presented to me, when they announced me to the Lomachenko fight, I said, okay, that means you're telling me I'm ready. You know, faith. That means you're telling me I'm ready. I'm going to take it. Let's do this. Like, it's that time.
And you believed.
Yeah.
You didn't go unscathed.
At all.
No.
For what?
No.
For what? Like, I'm the best. I wanted to show everybody that night, and I did.
Yo, he did touch you, though, later in the fight, though.
It's cool.
Yeah.
It's part of the game.
What was it like later in those rounds? Because he was saying that, like, he hurt himself, and that's why he didn't.
I hurt myself, too. How you want me to say it?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I fought dude with a torn TFCC.
Okay.
All right? And at the same time, I fought him with a broken foot. I had a complete torn ligament in my right foot fighting Lomachenko.
Mm.
Plus, I had shoulder problems, too, because we all do when we're fighting.
Sure.
Throwing punches. I could have done the same thing.
Right.
But you think what people would have heard? Like, would people have wanted to hear that from me?
No.
Had I lost, you think I would be here with you right now?
People.
Had I lost, you think I would be
facing
at the Garden right now, looking at the Empire State Building, looking at everybody saying, yeah, we made it. And you know, you think that would happen? Absolutely not. What was it that I did that?
No, you bit down in the gum shield and you did what you had to do.
Because I'm a motherfucking real ass fighter. I'm as real as they come, and I don't care what anybody, if they got a problem with me, come see me in that ring. That's my only thing. That's how I defend myself, in that ring. You ain't going to see me with this. You're going to see me with this.
Right.
All right? I don't play with this. Y'all do that. Y'all keep that. Y'all win. You guys win. Good job. But in there, come see me there.
Period, point blank.
Facts.
Listen, my man, I'm really excited to see this fight on Saturday night. And just to be honest, just really excited to see you back. And I want to see the future fights that get made with you, because I just feel like you are one of the great talents of our sport. And you got great energy. You know, I mean, last time we hung out was probably Dallas,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And we had a really good time. You could dance too. This guy can dance. Yeah, we were having a good time, and there was some good music, and everyone was having a good time. But you're a great guy, and you're a real talent. So looking forward to this fight on Saturday. And I don't know. What's that?
I think really, man, like, I love what I do.
Yeah.
Like, when something saves your life from the gutter and stuff, like, cherish it. That's why they say never forget where you come from. You know? Like,
absolutely.
Don't forget where you come from.
In this great future, you can't forget your past. Hold on. My producer Scott's tapping my arm. What's going on, buddy? Let's do the fan questions and wrap. Oh, yeah, we got fan questions. Are you cool to answer a couple fan questions?
Of course.
All right, hold on 1 second. Let's see what we got.
Do that.
All right, we're going to do fan questions and then we'll wrap it up. Let's see here.
Okay. Who would have known? Like, little young me.
I know,
just
right?
Just coming over here to take over. I remember when Todd DeBoff made fun of my takeover stuff when I first brought it out in 2018.
Who's laughing now?
You know that ESPN don't even want to have nothing to do with him anymore. Yeah, I feel like I became like I need to calm it down though. You know what I'm saying? I need to calm it down. I don't apologize. However, you know, life is what you make of it. So
it really is. You know? It really is. All right, let's see what these fan questions are. We got Martin Friend asked Tio. In this dawn of the new age lightweight kings, back in history, who was your favorite fighter at 135?
At 135? Yeah. Oh, yeah, Roberto Duran.
Boom. It's a great answer.
Yeah, of course.
It's pretty easy. Okay, cool. At Jezza1990_ asked Tio, we've just seen you sign a new deal with Bud Light. Do you like a beer, or is it strictly on it throughout?
On it throughout?
Yeah, I don't know what that means, but I guess it means not drinking it?
Shout out to Bud Light, man. I'm just appreciative of all of it. You know, I think it's great and really, I'm enjoying.
Okay.
Celebrating.
That was a diplomatic answer to the question.
Thanks.
Okay. Philip Ashcrop asked Tio, your last two opponents, Loma and Comey, fight in a few weeks. You're well placed to call the fight. Who wins and how?
Good question, man. I think it's a great fight. I don't think that I don't think it's going to be an easy night for either man.
Yeah, sure.
You know, those both guys I've been in the ring with, both true champions, and they know what they want. Mm. And as of right now, I got a 50-50.
Okay.
As of right now, I got a 50-50. I felt Comey's punch. He could punch. And on top of that, man, he's big. Yeah. Big 35 pounder just like me, and I was like, oh, okay. Mm. And I just want to see what he does. You know, as long as he doesn't, what Loma's biggest advantage to that he does to make every fighter's disadvantage is the moment you pick up your hands. The moment you pick up both your hands and you cuff, you're done. You're out. You gotta fight Loma from a range. You can't fight Loma and just beat like this, like a box. He gonna tag you up, break you down, and that's it. You gotta fight him from a distance. He can't grab you if you move with him. It's like a rubber band. Mm. You know, if you have two bands, if he goes this way, you should go with him.
Sure.
And that was the easiest thing that I could say. Like, I don't know how people saw that, how they didn't try to defeat that. It was easy. The only difficult part, I would say, I got bored in between that fight. I got bored. There was no screaming, no audience, nothing. I mean, I fought the number one pound for pound without people.
Right.
And I think really, like, I just want to, for all the young fighters, right, and for everybody out there going through things in their life and just trying to figure out what they want to do, only you know what you want. Only you know what you feel and that vision that you have in your mind.
Of course.
You know, no one else is going to see it. No one saw what I was going to do. Only I and my father, you know, that team. If you don't have a support team, but you are you, so that is a team, you know. And it's what I loved about Kobe, he said, like, to Shaq, I think he was like, hey, there's no I in team. He was like, but there's an ME in that motherfucker.
Yeah, there is.
You know what I mean? So for everybody, take that in, man. That's that mentality, that Mamba mentality. And I think for everyone, just strive, keep your faith up, keep your hope up, and keep your love up mainly, and just give more love than hate. And if anybody's doing better than you, that should motivate you rather than depreciate you and how you should look at life. I've seen people on social media, they'll take a picture in front of a nice vehicle and it's not even theirs. And a lot of you guys will believe it. So please understand, like, what you see on TV or what you see on camera is not as real as it is when it's real life. So
unless it's T.O. dropping them dogs. Bow, bow, bow. Okay.
One last thing I can say, life, man. Life is beautiful because we got today, man. So appreciate your life, man. Even if it doesn't seem like it's here right now, appreciate what you got today because it will lead you to much more, because that shows that you're still, your purpose is not fulfilled yet in life. You know, there's not many people that wake up tomorrow. You know, tomorrow's never promised, you know, so live it to the fullest today.
Always got to do that. Okay, there's one more question. I actually have one question that a lot of people have asked. The 1916 tattoo, what does that mean?
Oh, my grandfather.
That's when he was born, or that's when?
Yeah, that was the year he was born. But what I love about it, I did my research.
This is the your grandfather from Spain?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he was in a small town called Rasuelos Alvila.
Uh huh.
I believe it's like either in Madrid or Barcelona. My father knows a little bit better. But yeah, my grandfather is from my name, Teofimo.
Right.
So from 1916. But come to find out, with my manager, David McGuire, I think he said that my great-grandfather was Teofimo as well. So I believe I'm the fourth. My son will be the fifth.
I love that.
And, you know, it's amazing, though. It's But to know the actual research behind this whole thing, like, even if you flip it around, 1619 was the first time that they had they auctioned for first time for slavery for black people.
Mm.
Yeah, and then 1916 was the first World War One. You know, so, and this is the first tattoo I ever put on my body. I imprinted on. I didn't even know that. You know, so for everything, like, I'm just, I'm just trying to do what I can for everything.
Yo, you spent a lot of time in Honduras?
I was there. The last time I was there was back in 2016, though, for the Olympic Games.
Okay.
I was with them, and then after that, no.
That must have been a great experience.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. You know, Brazil was beautiful, and Brazil.
Yeah,
you know,
I love
everybody there, man. It was great. The atmosphere was amazing, and just that experience, man. If you're a young amateur fighter, you know, that's a great experience for you guys, man. And I wish you guys much success on that. You don't want to miss something like that.
Absolutely.
You get to meet so many great athletes along the way with that.
Absolutely. I spent time in your family's town, San Pedro Sula, in Honduras. Yeah, all through there, from La Ceiba to
you got some baleadas?
come on, man. Of course.
You got a Coca-Cola, too?
The Baleadas are the best, man. It's like, man, they make them all over, and they're just delicious. I could use a Baleada right now.
Oh, me too.
But
sure.
I spent a lot of time in that country and down in the south in Danley and Paraiso and Tela. And out on the islands, too, they got Roatan and Utila and Guanabo. It's a cool spot, man. It's really interesting place. Yeah, it was great. Okay, cool, man.
But the thing is, like, with Honduras, man, it's just it's a third world country. Something that they for me, you know, I want to help them as well. You know, in that way, I think it's better to what I want to do with this come forward is that I receive 100% of my blessings when I'm in there and all this that comes with me. But it's like what we do with it. So 10% I'll keep, 90% I'll give back to the community. Because that's really what matters, man. My 10% is more than I could ever ask for.
Sure.
So 90% could go to those that are in need, man, because everybody needs that, man. I think that and it doesn't have to be money, you know, but it could be on supplies and everything. So I'm just trying to take care of the people over there in Honduras as well and all around the world, all across the board. You know, there's no race in here. You know, I'm universal with everybody. I'm cordial and I'm just I'm liberal with everything.
Mm. Listen, man, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. Hey. They want us to shut it down because we got a bunch of things to do. But
man, I'm fun to talk to. What you talking about? You know what I'm saying?
You are fun to talk to.
I just I appreciate this so much, you know, and I thank everybody. I hope everybody could tune in November 27th, Saturday night. You know, and if you guys have the app store, download the app, The Zone. And just tune in, man. It's going to be one to watch. It's the takeover. And to everyone, happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy your families. Enjoy today. And enjoy those moments because we don't know what else can happen. We don't know if COVID 2.0 will happen. So just enjoy what we got.
That's exactly right. Ladies and gentlemen, lightweight champion of the world, Teofimo Lopez. We'll catch you guys tomorrow with Matchroom Radio with David Diamante.